Great. Well, thanks very much for having me here. It tends to be the Q&As that are most interesting in these sort of sessions, so I'll try and keep it relatively brief. But just to echo a lot of what Simon said, this is obviously a big challenge and something that companies like Google and Facebook take really seriously. It's also, though, something that we need to encourage parents and kids and teachers to start really thinking about. There's no silver bullet here, so we do need all to work together. I'll go through a bit about what Google does specifically on the child safety side of things. But first, I thought it might be helpful to take a little step back and look at the context in which we're trying to work. It's important to emphasize the positives about the internet and technology for kids, as well as just focusing on the risks. We all know that kids are using the internet and technology. It's part of their daily life. It's not a nice to have. It's absolutely integral to everything they do. But there are quite a few myths around, so I thought I'd do a little bit of myth busting first, debunking the myths here. So the first myth that's around and about is that the internet is primarily used to waste time, play games, chat with friends. Actually, a lot of research shows that one of the top uses is for educational purposes. It's for doing your homework. It's for getting the news. Yes, there are lots of people who spend a lot of time communicating on the internet, and that's not a bad thing. In fact, there's a lot of research that shows that social networking sites can actually be a huge benefit. And there are lots of different benefits that can be educational again, talking with your friends, doing kind of outside of school educational work, support with homework. It can be around identity formation. Kids, as they're growing up, actually tend to use social networks as a way to sort of explore different parts of their identity as they're growing up. And also, it can be a way in which you can find get a sense of belonging and supportive relationships that perhaps may not be in your classroom or at home. So first of all, let's just recognise that social networking and the use of the internet, whether that's communicating or other aspects, can be really positive. The second myth is that the internet has opened up new avenues for bullying. Interesting fact, and you know, there's so many sort of potentially contradictory facts in this space, but one says that 10% of bullying victims are cyberbullied. And it's important to recognise that the issues here are systemic. The internet is forcing us to think about these things, which is a good thing. But let's not assume that the internet can provide the solutions, because it most probably isn't necessarily the problem. The third I'd point to is that young people are being exposed to sexual material online. That's absolutely true, and it's something that we should all work together to combat. 25% of UK kids have seen sexual images, only 14% of them are claiming to see them online. Of that percentage, 4% say they're upset by these images. 2% of them are 2% of the images that they're looking at are what is kind of explicit and hardcore, sort of violent. The rest is sort of nudity, in the same way that perhaps is seen in the offline world. So again, it's important to recognise that. And actually, sort of within this whole realm, the issue of the disconnect between parents and kids is quite apparent. So of the number of kids who said they have seen sexual images online, 44% of their parents claim their kids would never have seen sexual images. So it's quite important for parents to be, it's extremely important for parents to be engaged with what their kids are doing online. The next one I'd point to is the myth that young people are unaware of privacy controls. There is absolutely more that we should all be doing to raise awareness around privacy. But Pew Research says that 2/3 of young adults who use social networking sites have adjusted their privacy settings. That's a really positive thing. As I say, there's more to do, but young people are actually perhaps more tech savvy and privacy savvy than we would recognise. The final one, and one that's particularly interesting perhaps in the current political environment, is the idea that laws can adequately protect young people. Because not only is technology moving so fast that perhaps legislation is a blunt tool for addressing these challenges, but also the truth is that often parents are actually complicit in their kids using the social networking sites. So again, it's about education and not perhaps using the traditional legislative levers to start answering these questions. So I think it's a really complex picture. There's positives, and of course there are risks. The good news is that kids, I think, are probably more savvy than we give them credit for, but that is absolutely not to downplay the risks. And Google, as Facebook do, take this really seriously for several reasons. First of all, you know, it's our responsibility to take action on this, but also our business depends on the internet being a safe space. A lot of our businesses are based on trust, and actually if parents feel that their kids are not in a safe space, then there's a big chance that people will start removing their families from the space altogether. So what's Google's approach to safety online? We tend to take three-strand approach. One is around empowering parents, kids, users through tools. And there are sort of several Google products, and I can sort of answer questions specifically on each of them in due course if you would like. But just to kind of name a couple of the tools. We've got Safe Search tool, which you can lock as a parent, which enables you to, which effectively filters out explicit images and text. There are three different filtering mechanisms on Google Search. There's the strict, the moderate, and the sort of extremely loose. There's also the YouTube safety mode. So you are able to filter out age-rated content in YouTube. And YouTube actually operates through the community guidelines, much the same as was mentioned before. And that covers whether it's hate speech, explicit content, terrorist content, and anybody can flag up, any user can flag to YouTube some inappropriate content and notify us as to which community guideline it breaches, and obviously the community guidelines go way above and beyond the law, and we will then look at that on a case-by-case basis and take down anything in breach of that. The second strand of our approach is around education, and I think this is a really, really important one. We often put a lot of emphasis on it. We do have our Family Safety Centre, much the same as Facebook's approach, and that links all through to the tools. It links through to various videos of tips and tricks that parents might need to work out how to keep their family safe online. But we decided last year to really put our money where our mouth is and run a big digital literacy campaign that we called Good to Know, and we ran that in collaboration with the Citizens Advice Bureau. And that was a big campaign that we ran in tubes and in papers and on billboards across the country, with sort of tips of how to stay safe. And the important thing was that it was something that was accessible to everyone. So the examples we gave were offline examples, which helped you transfer those values and those safety tips into the online world. So, you know, simply that you wouldn't leave your front door open, why would you ever not log out of your browser? That's the sort of education strand. And then there's the protect strand, and that is working with law enforcement across the world to protect kids. We work very closely with the Internet Watch Foundation in the UK to tackle the very worst of child abuse, and we continue to work with CEOP and many other organisations in the UK. So, in summary, the internet is absolutely transforming how young people communicate, socialise and access information. Like any other communication medium, it has risks, but studies do tend to show that they have very similar routes to those in the offline world. So we really urge policymakers, parents, everybody, not to see the internet as a distinct medium. This needs to be the online and offline worlds are not mutually exclusive, and they need to be seen together. Asking a child what it's done online that day should come as naturally as asking them what they did in school. The truth is that digital literacy is not just for the children, it's for the whole family, and that's where our real challenge lies. We need to work together to leverage the power, efficiency, and reach of technology to bring about good for everybody. So I think, we really all need to work together to help everyone develop the skills they need to critically understand, analyse, and create solutions in a digital world, and help all become responsible members of a 21st century community. Thank you.